Good morning. This is 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS. It is Community Speaks being brought to you by the Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo. And joining me this morning is Gail Simmons. Good morning, Gail.
Good morning.
Gail, we're happy to have you here. Why don't you just start by kind of opening up, let people know who you're here representing this morning.
Sure. As he said, my name is Gail Simmons. I run a nonpartisan blog called Civics 307. The idea being to really be a nonpartisan observer of the legislature and the legislative processes. I'm retired Navy and retired from GE, so it gives me an opportunity to do my passion. So we have the short session of legislature coming up. It is the budget session, 20 days normal, that's going to start in February. So there's just a few things to look at, and with the governor's budget, some of the changes that have come out with the CREG, which is the estimate of what our income will be.
Okay, and I see you've got a bunch of information in front of you, so I'll let you just kind of jump into it as you wanted to talk a little bit about budget and revenue.
Sure. So, we got an F as a state for visibility in our budgeting and finance.
Is F for fantastic?
Yeah, that would be nice. and it's not because we don't have reserves. We do. It really is about the ability to understand exactly where the monies are going to. And a lot of that is simply because we kind of do shell games and move things around and try to have things work out. So rather than to go into that, which really makes it complex, I just want to talk about the overall governor's budget. Which includes school, the executive. It comes to $8.109 billion. That is for the 1920, so it's a two-year, it's a biennium. So of that $1.109 billion, about the general fund is $2.7 billion. We get federal funds in the tune of $1.6 billion. And then we have other funds of $3.6 billion. And there's a whole bunch of things that go into the other funds, including the fees and YDOT. So rather than try to split all those up, if I just look at the $8.106 billion, and even with the slight increase that we looked at for the estimates, that $8.1 billion goes across 86 departments of the state government. So 86 departments. We are over $200 million short of what our income is, and that is going to have to be taken out of the LISRA, the Legislative Reserve Account, what people call the Rainy Day Fund, over $236 million to make up that $8.109 billion.
Sounds like a big number.
Yeah. Senator Everett Dirksen was talking about the Department of Defense budget, and he said, a billion here, a billion there, pretty soon we're talking about some real money. So I think we're talking about some real money here. So of that $8.109 billion for 86 departments, what's interesting to understand is that 11 of those 86 make up over 80% of the spend. So $6.5 billion is for 11 departments. And so as you go through those, Department of Health is 23%, and education is 22%. I think most people think that education is the most, but it's not. It's Department of Health. So those two, one of them has $1.8 billion, the other one has $1.75 billion.
So education comes in second on the list as far as how much is spent on it?
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, and that's not counting the Department of Education itself. That's just actually education in the 23 counties.
Okay.
Then the third one down is A&I. So that's admin and information, I believe is what it's called. And that's just 10%. But when you're talking about these big amounts of money, it's necessary to understand that you can't just slash. You really have to remove programs. So I had seen or read something from a legislator who said, well, we can solve this easy. We'll just go back to the 1970s spending for that. Well, that's, I don't want to say that's naive, but it's certainly short-sighted because it's who are the people who are no longer going to be served? That's what really has to be looked at. So one of the items that came up again was A&I, which has $825 million from the governor's budget. Two-thirds of that covers insurance for the entire employee base of Wyoming. So, you know, unless we cut all the employees, there's not much we can do about that. So it's not like a lot of this expense is really things that we can go after readily. And so we have the Joint Appropriations Committee made up of probably the most experienced legislators from both the Senate and the House. And if these were easy fixes, like let's just go back to 1970, they would have already done it.
I would like a lot of things to be priced like they were back in 1970. When I go out and buy stuff, that'd be great.
I would like that. I would
but still have salary of today.
Exactly. I want my salary for today. I want my retirement.
Yeah.
But I would love to only be
60 cents for a gallon of gas or something.
Yeah, and we complained about that.
Yeah,
I remember when it went over a dollar. But the other thing to understand is, in addition to when we look at Department of Health, Education, Department of Family Services, YDOT, a lot of those federal funds are matching. So we have to have a maintenance of effort. And if we start cutting into where we have matching funds, we start losing the federal funds that we already have, never mind the federal funds that we leave on the table. And then, again, we're back to the services. So it always has to go back to what are the services that are being provided by the state. So as I go through these again, number four is the University of Wyoming with $376 million. They get a lot of grants. That's not even close to what their cost is. Department of Corrections, that's $276 million. What can we do to, you know, forgetting the fiasco that is the construction issues with the Department of Corrections? Then it becomes a question of how would we cut Department of Corrections? Well, one of the things that was done before was to cut out all of the drug abuse, substance abuse, and what we found is that actually boomeranged on us because so many of the incarcerated population has a problem with substance abuse, which is driving the behaviors that have them end up in our prisons. So that $276 million actually reflects an increase that the governor's asking for to put those substance abuse programs back in.
Maybe you could bring back the chain gang and make them go to work.
Well, you know, I am a fiscal conservative, and I am a fan of workfare.
Paying your own way.
Paying your own way and giving a hand up, not a hand out. I don't know chain gang that has visions of swamps in the South and abuse, but the fact of the matter is that whether we're talking social services or prisons or any of that kind, even Medicaid, when people have a personal financial stake in their activities and the services that they get, they approach it completely different. It's the difference between how you treat a rental car and how you treat your own car. because you don't have that sense of I put something into this. And I think it's really important for us to regain that. And it's been a big part of what it is to be in Wyoming. We're very independent. We very much like to pull our own weight. You know, and we've done that whether it's male or female. I know that when my dad and granddad, my dad and uncle were in World War II, I know my grandmother spent as much time out on the fields farming as my granddad did. I mean, this is just the legacy that we have of this independent Wyoming. So I think that's a very critical thing for people, for us to reinforce, is that to give you need, or to get, you need to give.
Absolutely.
And there's just lessons in personal responsibility, and yet we need to help people. You know, we need to help the children, make sure they eat. No child who's hungry learns. That's just it. If they're hungry and cold, they don't learn. So, you know, I'm going off on a tangent here. What we used to call bunny holes in GE, but so Department of Corrections, the Department of Education. So this is Jillian Balos and her organization comes in sixth with $276 million. So again, this is the overhead, if you will, the state overhead for education, above and beyond what goes out to the boards of education. And then we come into the Department of Family Services. And again, the social services, and a lot of that is taking care of children. I happen to be on the board of Compass Center for Families, of which there's one in Buffalo. And we also take care of Casey, as well as Sheridan. And we get funding through DFS, among other places. And we really touch a lot of very, very needy children and families. And so that DFS funding helps with that. And of course, it's never enough. But these are children that are at risk. These are families that need help. It's our parent liaison, which actually the school district too helps with. DFS just takes care again of the most vulnerable. Then we come back to education again, community colleges. I know everybody is aware that Weatherby is moving to Sheridan. A big piece of that was the Sheridan College and the technical capabilities, technical training that's there that helps ensure a qualified workforce. And it's helping us with Weatherby. We look at some of the other VacuTech, Emit Technologies. These are all manufacturing firms that are growing. Kennett is growing. We have Ptolemy that's growing. So, you know, those community colleges provide a great capability. Next is revenue, and that's we have to put money in to make money. Revenue is both in terms of obtaining the sales. Revenue also runs the sale of our alcohol. So then YDOT is at $217 million. Now that changed, so some of those other funds is that's kind of a wash off the general fund. But like I said, I think you have to look at the whole thing. You can't just say, okay, well, this one has money from here and money from there and all. And then the last one is capital construction. So when you add all that together, it's $6.5 billion, and that makes just over 80% in those 11 departments alone. And then all the rest, the 75 other departments, take all of the remainder, the $1.5 billion. So it's not easy, and it's really services related. And the final thing is that we still, as citizens, are only paying 30%. And when I say we, I mean all the visitors that come in and pay lodging tax and sales tax and the use tax. we're only at 9% of our fair market value is what we're paying property tax on for our homes. It's at 11% for commercial. It is 100% for our extractive industries, which is another reason why, in addition to severance tax, we continue to be 70% reliant on them, and they go up and down. We have to expand our base. Everybody's looking at it. What everybody agrees is we don't want no more taxes, but we're not having the hard conversations about if we're not going to expand our base, expand our revenues. What services do we cut, and who's going to feel that? Is it going to be the ones who have health problems? Is it going to be our children? Where is it education? Where are we going to take that out of?
And anytime you cut, somebody feels it, right?
Everybody feels it. And of course, we're human nature, so we always want, we're okay with cutting as long as it doesn't touch us.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't affect us personally, yeah. It's okay then.
So, you know, that's kind of the budget, and I summarized it some because it's pretty hard to comprehend.
Yeah, when you start throwing out too many numbers, you just confuse people.
And 8,000 is a lot to me.
Right.
800 is a lot to me. 8 billion is incomprehensible.
Very true. Yep, absolutely. And, you know, as we were talking before we come on the air, you were talking about a committee meeting that's coming up next week. You want to touch on that?
Sure. So on Monday and Tuesday, down in Cheyenne is the school finance recalibration, the select committee. The unfortunately, the consultants that we hired came out and came back and said, no, you need to spend more money.
Oh.
That's just not possible, you know. So these 2 days is going to be what do we deal with the results that we've got, and they're going to have to come up with their recommendations. That's on Monday and Tuesday, and then on Wednesday is the final revenue interim committee, and I just want to take a second here. Representative Mike Madden from Buffalo and Eastern Sheridan County has the god-awful task of being the chairman of the House Revenue Committee, and on the Senate side, it's Senator Peterson. You know, in every business, in every organization, there are people who have to have the crap jobs.
Yep.
And I have to say that those are crap jobs, but they're critical. I actually had somebody say, oh, Representative Madden's never seen a tax he didn't like. No, he knows more than most of us because of his background, exactly what the impact is. But when you have a job to do and somebody has to do it, the Revenue Committee was assigned by Management Council, the leadership of the legislature, to come up with a $200 million, a $300 million, and a $400 million option on how do we make up the shortfall in our revenues. So, you know, I know that Senator Peterson, from my understanding, actually is getting personal attacks. Some of that's because of his work with the education, but that's not right. When people take on the tough jobs, we need to take the personalities out of it and say, listen, you wouldn't want to have that task. You would not want to have that task.
Whatever decisions are made, someone's going to be upset.
That's right. And on top of that, no tax goes into place until 90 individuals who are in the legislature vote on it. So give these guys a break and understand that they've got an unpleasant task. And they're going to have to deal with that on next Wednesday. And they've got several options they're looking at, including a tax on services. We have become more and more a service economy. So as our tax on retail goes down, our income, which funds our municipalities and counties as well as the state, one of the options is looking at services. Of course, the lawyers are squealing and the realtors are squealing. And of course, and they should. But we have to, they have to look somewhere. They're looking at diverting funds, the travel and tourism, the hotel and motel owners and restaurant owners actually came and said, we'd be willing to take a 1% tax, most of which comes from out of state, in order to fund the tourism board so that we can bring more people in. You know, you go back east and you see advertisements for South Dakota. You see advertisements for Montana.
If you drive across 90 in South Dakota, every 5 miles you see Wall Drug billboard.
Yeah. So, you know, those are our competitors. And it is a fierce competitive market, and we need to make sure we're competing with that. They're also taking a look at that 9% and 11% on property tax and looking at 2 points each, increasing the home to 11% and the commercial to 13%. And
I'm sure that makes people thrilled.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, because we're still in the bottom five of tax, and Lord knows I'm finishing up a renovation that's significantly improving the value of my home, so I'm going to be feeling the pinch both ways. Oh yeah, it's not like I'm a fan of taxes, but one of the things that they're looking at from that is there's always been on the books a bill to do a rebate for low income. So that the lowest income houses, the people who live in that, can actually get a rebate so that it could cover that. Well, there's not been any funding for it. So part of that two-point increase, they're looking at funding that rebate program so that those that are hardest hit financially by the economy and by the position that they're in actually get some relief from their property taxes. So it's going to be pretty interesting. On my blog, which is civics307.com, my last Friday I did an update. I'll be updating another spreadsheet. There are 135 bills already numbered for LSO, and we're not done. That doesn't include the budget bill itself. So I just want to remind folks, in the short session of legislature, any non-budget bill requires a two-thirds positive vote in the chamber of introduction in order to be introduced, just as it is. And that's before it starts going through committee and gets changed by the committee and gets changed on the House. So it's a fairly high bar, and well it should, because in 20 days, 4 weeks, the one thing they absolutely have to do is pass a budget, pass school finance. We have our Constitution requires us to have a balanced budget. Last year, they didn't take care of that, of the supplemental budget, until the last hour of the last day. And boy, they sure took care of a lot of other things. So there's some priorities here. And I'm glad that they've set that bar at two-thirds. But I want people to understand that approving for introduction is not a vote to approve the final bill. It's simply to have it introduced so it can start being worked.
Okay. And so if people want to check out this information, they can get that at civics307.com. Is that right?
That's correct. Civics307, CIVICS307.com. And I also post it to Facebook at Civics307.
Okay. Very cool. So like her page. It's Gail Simmons. Gail, thank you so much for taking the time today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. This is Classic Country, 1450 AM and 103.5 FM KBBS. You've been listening to Community Speaks, being brought to you by The Prescription Shop on Fort Street in Buffalo.